Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds and preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Why Jesus is the question that you asked Roger this past Sunday morning.
Yes, you know, for a room full of believers, that's an obvious answer, but we have so many family members and folks we love to death, and that's a real question for them. We live in a time where people wonder, why? Why should I follow Jesus? Why should I read my Bible? Why should I be a part of a church? And, you know, we began in John 6, where Jesus had fed the multitudes. He had fed the 5,000. And then coming off of that, the next day, the crowd shows up again. And they're looking for another free meal. And Jesus turns and pivots from that to talk about how he is the bread. Multiple times in John 6, Jesus would say, "I am the bread." It says at least three or four times in that context. And near the end of that chapter, when the people realize there's no more free food coming, many of them left and walked with Jesus no more. Jesus, turning to Peter, says, "What about you?" And Peter and the apostle says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of life." And so what we want to look at is, why Jesus? One of the things we notice is his world is so different than ours. Jesus never held a cell phone in his hand. He never flew on an airplane. He never did so many things that we do all the time. He never filled out an NCAA basketball bracket, you know? And so Jesus never did. So when I think about, okay, why Jesus? Is there so many things in my life I just don't think that we're the same? Second thing we looked at is he seems so demanding. Just over and over, he just seems to say that, for instance, whoever slaps you on one side of the cheek, turn to him the other. If you love father and mother more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Just over and over, even into the writings of the apostles, they would say such things as we're expected to be holy and we're to put other people first in our lives. And so what we walk through with that is four simple reasons why Jesus. This is what we should say to our friends. Why Jesus? Because of who he is. He was God on earth. In the book of Matthew chapter 1 says to call him Emmanuel, which means God among us. And so he proved that he was God. And then we talked about the second reason is because the way he lived. He lived like no one else lived. He lived perfectly. And he was the example. Everybody we know, even those who think we have a perfect marriage, it's not perfect because there's sin in our lives. And then the third thing we looked at is because of how he died. He didn't just die on a cross. He died as a sacrifice for us. He gave up his life, and that changed our eternity. That changes everything. And the fourth reason why Jesus is because he can do what no one else can do for us. He can forgive our sins. He can give us a purpose. As I stated in the sermon, he can give us a reason to live and a purpose to die. And that's something that only Jesus can do. And so, in a time in the culture where a lot of people think, well, I'm forward-looking. I don't want to go backward to that old Bible, you know. But that we need to. And we need to see how relevant Jesus is. And there's never a time, never an age, where we can say, I don't need him, because we do.
The sermon is freely available at charlestownroad.org and in our sermon podcast feed. Would certainly encourage you not only to watch or listen, but to share this why Jesus with others who desperately need to come to know him. Roger, let's revisit a couple of key points in this sermon, and you referenced it just a moment ago, but I think it takes some, maybe by surprise, maybe it rubs some the wrong way when they're not exactly sure how to take the demanding Jesus. You brought out in your sermon, he seems so demanding. And so if someone were to push back on that and say, well, I want a God that I can call on when I need him,
but I don't want him making demands on my life. I will give Jesus the attention that I feel like he gives. Many in broader culture, I mean, we see in what the broader religious world refers to as Easter and Christmas. That's a time to give a nod to Jesus. But this idea of a demanding Jesus, I'm just not interested in. What should we do with that sort of pushback?
Well, you know, and people don't like to be pushed. They don't like to be pressured. You know, I think one of the great fears people have about car shopping is just that pressure upon them. I remember years ago taking my daughter to look for a car, and we parked across the street. I said, I just want you to watch here for a minute. and a couple showed up. I said, now I want you to watch these sharks. And as soon as this car, the couple got out of the car, here comes all these salesmen. There's like three or four, and they're almost running toward them. And I said, now that's going to happen to us, okay? And so when you, nobody likes to be pushed, you get these phone calls or you get these things on Facebook or emails and you need to buy. It's really pushing you, and that just bothers us. And so I think that the image culture has developed of Jesus is kind of like a nice Mr. Rogers. He'll put on his sweater, he'll put on his slippers, he's really nice, and he'll just let us do what we want to do, and he's not. But what we find in the scriptures is passages like, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. I am the Lord. And so being the Lord, being the master, first of all, he's in the position to make demands. We are the creation. He is the creator. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about using the illustration of a potter and the clay. He's making this clay pot. And the clay doesn't say to the potter, no, because it's the potter who's in charge. And so part of this is understanding the role of Jesus. And he didn't come down here just to put little sprinkles on top of our head and give us a little glitter and make us feel happy and just go about your way. He wanted us to understand that we've made a mess of stuff, and we have to follow him if we're going to get out of this mess. And so that's why it comes across that way. But when you really look at it, you understand his way is the best way. It's the only way.
You know, as you're describing that, I think of what happened right here in our metro area just a couple of weeks ago. We had on one of our bridges across the Ohio River connecting where we live in southern Indiana to downtown Louisville, Kentucky. There was a semi truck that drove through a guardrail in the middle of that bridge and was suspended there. As I understand it, the woman who was driving that semi truck was dangling there over the Ohio River for about 40 minutes before brave first responders constructed an apparatus where one firefighter could be lowered down to where that woman was. And of course, this turned out to be just an amazing scene as she was saved and both of them got on stable ground. And I mean, it was just an amazing local story. But you imagine how, I don't know what that conversation went like, but I've got to imagine it was something like, okay, I'm going to need you to reach out and take a hold of my hand. I'm going to need you to let go of the steering wheel or whatever you're holding on to and reach out. And I'm going to need you to grab a hold of me, and I'm going to need you to trust me. And it, you know, if this woman is, well, you know, you're being awfully demanding. There's not an awareness of what danger she was in, right? But someone was there to save her. And as terrifying as that whole situation is, the situation with sin is infinitely worse. Someone comes along who has given his life for us and tells us in no uncertain terms, you've got to deny yourself and put me first. And if you do, if you seek me and my kingdom first, I'll save you. Well, that goes a long way in just appreciating how desperate, how lost and in danger we really are.
And back to your illustration of that dangling truck, had that little fence or guardrail had not been there, she'd been down in New Orleans by now. I mean, she would have gone down the Ohio to the Mississippi and on down to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And people can say, well, I don't like those restrictions. Well, that restriction is what was able to save her.
Yeah.
Had there been nothing there, that truck would have gone completely over and she would have died. And so, we may look at it as it's pushing me. It's cornering me in. It's demanding, but we need to see it from the other side, and it's keeping us safe.
Yeah.
It's keeping us alive spiritually.
Absolutely. In the middle of your sermon, you brought out how Jesus demonstrated that he was God. Now, there were lots of ways Jesus could demonstrate that he was God. He could have appeared like a Godzilla figure in the movies, just crushing everything in his path and demanding that people bow down, cower before him in terrible fear. But Jesus didn't do that. How did he demonstrate the way that he was God, and what difference do you think that makes?
Well, you know, there was a series of things he did. You know, one of the first things he did is he allowed people to worship him. And we see throughout our Bibles that when somebody bowed down to a prophet or to an apostle, they're always told, stand up. I'm just a man. Even in the book of Revelation, John bowed down to an angel, and he said, don't do that. Only God is worshiped. And so Jesus allowed people to worship him. That was to demonstrate he was deity. When the man who was crippled was lowered through the roof as Jesus was teaching, he forgave sins. The crowd knew immediately who can forgive sins but God alone. So he was showing that he was God. But then he did what no one else could do. Over and over he did that. He would heal people. He would cleanse lepers. He would raise the dead. Those are things that no one else could do. He suspended the laws that confined us. You and I cannot walk on water. Gravity will not allow that. Jesus did that. You and I can go to the cemetery and talk, and the people in the graves cannot hear us. They heard Jesus, and they responded to what he said. We cannot multiply food. What house or wife would love to do that? You know, I don't have to go grocery shopping. I'll just multiply what's in the cabinet there. We cannot do that. Jesus could do that. And so over and over, he demonstrated that he can do what no one else could do. But what all those things did, first of all, it grabbed people's attention and drew them into him. And then from that, it showed compassion. He cared for the hurting and the sick and those who were suffering, and he healed that. And that would build trust. And later on, they would listen to him. The Godzilla approach scares people. I mean, if you've ever seen those old little Japanese movies, Godzilla's walking among the skyscrapers, blowing fire upon everything, and everyone's running. They're running away from him in fear. What do we see in our Bibles? They're running to Jesus, and they're saying, can you help me? Jesus, have mercy upon me. Why was it that way? Because he attracted people by showing that he was compassionate, that he cared, and that he alone was God. We find people in our Bibles who had been to multiple doctors, spent all their wealth, and they'd gotten no better. What do? They come to Jesus. We find people that were on street corners who had leprosy, and when Jesus passed by, they call out to Jesus. Only Jesus can help them. And so that's how he demonstrated that he was God on earth.
You know, it makes me think of the way he describes himself in Matthew chapter 11, gentle and lowly in heart. God on earth, but gentle and lowly in heart. And then I think of how Peter, who was there to hear Jesus describe himself in that way, calls us to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have within us, yet with gentleness and respect. There's something to the way Jesus proved who he was and the way then we are to live in his name, even in the 21st century. Toward the end of the sermon, you brought out that we have all tasted the bitterness of being let down. We know what it is to be the recipients of promises broken or lies told to us. We know what it is to see the flaws in each other. What difference does a healthy relationship with Jesus make in those difficult circumstances?
Because Jesus is just the opposite. He is the definition of perfection. Perfection as he lived, perfection is what he said. And so he won't let you down. If Jesus said it, he promised it, you know it's going to come about. And so he never exaggerated. He never said things, and then the next day he said, well, you know, I gotta take back what I said to you yesterday. He never did that. And he would say, I have told you all things that I know. And it shows us that we can have a confidence in Jesus. We can have an understanding with Jesus. What he says is going to come about because of that relationship and that trust. No one has a better interest in us than Jesus does. And part of one of the aspects I've talked about in this lesson is that no one else knows us the way God knows us. God knows when we're sitting down. God knows when we're standing. God knows even before we say a word what we're going to say. He knows the very hairs on our head. I mean, that intimate detail is just phenomenal that God cares that much about us.
And that leads us to really where your sermon ended. He knows, warts and all, what makes us us, but he is still anxiously, selflessly looking for us. That is worth thinking about here in the middle of this week.
It is, you know, and he would just come out and say that in Luke 19, verse 10, Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's an interesting concept. I think we don't think about that. I read an article years ago called The Hounds of Heaven. How God's, you know, like when he had something that was missing, they'd send out the hound dogs. God sent out the hounds of heaven to look for us. And so Jesus came to seek that which is lost. He didn't say, here I am, see if you can find me. He came looking for us. The parable of Luke 15, the lost sheep, Jesus left the 99 and went looking for that lost sheep. The woman who lost a coin, she looked for that lost coin. God is looking for us, and because he knows only he has what we need, only he can help us. And that's why the answer is why Jesus. It's because of who he is.
One of the most important questions we could ever ask, why Jesus? Again, the sermon is freely available at charlestownroad.org and in our sermon podcast feed. Roger, thank you for the last two Sunday mornings getting us to think about, in basic terms, that discipleship is not just about me and my own personal connection with Jesus. Everyone matters, and I need to be able to share with others why Jesus. We very much appreciate that, especially in view of this Sunday. We'll talk about it in just a moment, but first, it's Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock p.m. We're looking forward to gathering together. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
We're about to wrap up our series on expectations. And tonight is, what do we expect of God? I come to him, as we just mentioned, what should I expect? And we'll kind of go down that avenue tonight.
In our Building Blocks track of studies, we're exploring what is the Lord's Supper. This evening, we'll talk about how the Lord's Supper, week by week, first day of the week after first day of the week, presents us with valuable opportunities. We'll dig into that, Lord willing, in that Building Blocks track of studies. This Sunday morning, we are looking forward to an opportunity that we have been spreading the word about for several weeks now. It is a great bring a friend opportunity, and I'm blessed with the opportunity to preach at 9:30 a.m. It's a simple sermon we've entitled From Death to Life. And we'll talk about the life-changing joy that is available in Jesus, such good news that is available. We've been encouraging our own church family over the last several weeks to extend invitations. We would love to have you join us this Sunday, 9:30 a.m., From Death to Life. Sunday evening, we're looking forward to a song service. Every time there is a fifth Sunday of the month, we enjoy that, the opportunity not only to honor God in song, but to speak and encourage one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It should be a very encouraging first day of the week. Roger, thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. It would be great to see you tonight at 7 o'clock. We're very much looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.